Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's a letter that the great apostle, the disciple Peter, the one of the closest of Jesus' core, was writing to a church. And this was kind of a church that was going through a hardship, you could say. They were enduring some persecution, some hard times. And so this was a letter of encouragement from Peter, who himself had experienced this, having been locked up and released by God through miraculous events, and had gone before the courts of the Jewish leaders of the time, the Sanhedrins, and defended his position. So Peter understood what it was to go through this, and now it was an encouragement. And so we're going to look at this context, and we're going to look at this subject today. But as I was thinking about tonight, what I wanted to talk about, you know, I'm excited because a new phone came out. You know, I'm not like one of those phone type people, you know, like where you got to go and jump on it. But I have been without GPS and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and cell phone service since May. On my phone, because I'm like so cheap, I'm like, I'm not gonna buy a new phone, like no way. So it took me back, having a phone that didn't work. Like I couldn't use maps anymore, and I don't have a GPS in my car, and I couldn't use like headphones that didn't have a wire, because I couldn't do that anymore. So I had to listen to like the radio, and my phone never worked because something with the antenna broke, and they wanted like $300 to fix it. And I'm like, I'm just gonna wait till a new phone comes out. And I'm so cheap that I bought my wife a new phone, and I just took her phone. So praise the Lord. So you can't be like Pastor Luke's all into that materialism stuff. Like, no, man, I'm still good. But what was funny is that having a phone that didn't work took me back in some sense to the days before cell phones. Now, some of you in this place are probably not even old enough to even remember days before cell phones. And you're probably looking at me like, Pastor Luke, you don't even know what you're talking about. But like, yes, I do. Okay. Because it was only 10 years ago that smartphones came out, right? I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, we were barely using DSL internet. Like, if we don't have Wi-Fi now, the world stops. I mean, isn't it amazing how fast things have gone? But if you're like, I would say what, 28 years or old, or 20, 25 years and old or older, you grew up without cell phones, like without smartphones. You might have had a flip phone, but even probably before that, the days of old school phones, like where the wire came out of the wall and went into a phone, and when you needed to get a hold of somebody, you actually called them. I was talking to a friend of mine at the church, Chris, and he was like, somebody was talking to me about the phone, and he was like, yeah, you know, Pastor Luke, and we were talking about phones, and he was like, yeah, but don't call him. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I use it for. Like, you don't use a phone to call people. You text people with a phone. That's what it's for. And you actually called people. You remember those days? I remember growing up when somebody would call. It was almost like that feeling you get on Christmas morning. You know that before caller ID, before you could see who was calling you, and like you'd be in the other room and somebody would answer the phone. I remember like mom or dad or my sister or somebody in the house, the phone would ring, and you'd actually have to walk over to the phone and pick it up because, you know, you had a wire, and like if you wanted a wireless phone, then you got like a really long wire, you know, those ones that could go like in another room, or you could lock yourself in the closet to have privacy. And somebody would call you, right? And then you get that, like, somebody would, hey, Luke, yeah? You got a call. Who is it? I don't know. What do they want? I don't know. Come pick up the phone. And it was just like, oh, somebody called me? Like, somebody was standing. It was just like this feeling of Christmas morning, like somebody wanted to talk to me. Does anybody remember those days? Like, now you pick up the phone and you're like, ooh, I don't want to talk to them right now. Voicemail, you know? And I remember just that exhilaration when somebody would call. Maybe it was my girlfriend. You know, I met Stacy when I was 14 years old, and we'd have these like conversations, and she lived in Grand Terrace. I lived in Ukiah, so you had to pay like 25 cents a minute for long distance, and I had to get a calling card to call her, and it was like, she called me. It was like just Christmas morning, because somebody had a thought about you and they wanted to call. And you know, if it was a really important phone call, or if it was a conversation that you like were really expecting, you know, the whole family would be standing around and they'd be like, yeah, like, so who is it? Who is it? You remember these days? You'd be on the phone and you'd be like, go, get out of here. And if you really wanted to know what somebody else was talking about, you'd be sly enough to go into like the other room and then like silently, like the parents are like, yes, amen. Like silently pick up the phone and like cover the voice and just listen in, like before wiretapping was a big thing. And I just remember those days, and like having this phone that didn't work made me think about it. And you know what's funny is that in the Word of God, there's this word that is thrown out a lot of times, and the word is calling or called. And today I want to talk about the subject, or for you and I, that you've got a call. The very same thing, the very same feeling. When somebody would call out to you, hey, you've got a call. I want you to know something, that you have got a call. And when we look at this word in the Bible, call or calling or called by God, we start to get these associations, and like that's a word that's kind of a heavy word, and like what does it mean to be called by God? So often we think that when you get a call, that means that you get a call to leave your job and to go into ministry, or if you get called by God, that you're being called to go to another country or something like that. But did you know that each and every one of us in this room today has a call from God? And I'm not talking about actually like God's gonna call your iPhone or your Android and be like, hi, how are you doing today? But a spiritual call, a gifting, a purpose, a set or designated reason for existence. And God has given to you a call. And today I want to talk to you about what it means to be called. And so you've got a call. You have a call. And I want to look at that. And Peter uses this word in this letter because he's talking to a church that's going through a lot of hardships, because he's talking to a church that's enduring persecutions, because there's a lot of questions going on around in this region. Early Christians or followers of Jesus at this time this letter's being written, were starting to get these weird accusations coming at them that they were dissenters of government, and they were anarchists, and they were cannibals, and they had these orgies because they had feasts of love, but they were actually just like dinners of brotherly love. But people would be like, love feasts, yo, you all are a little bit, you know. And Jesus said, you know, the wine is my blood and the bread is my body. And so they'd be like, you guys get together and like eat blood and or eat people. And there was all these weird accusations going on. And so Peter's writing this letter to kind of clarify the church and just say, look, you guys got this, you have this, you can make it, you can keep enduring, there's a future for you. And in this letter of Peter, we call it the book of 1 Peter, he uses this word calling a lot. And as he's setting up, and in 1 Peter, we're going to look at the second chapter, and I'm going to do something a little bit maybe unorthodox for my own self, and I'm going to read entirely out of a translation that I don't have a physical Bible for, and that's the New Living Translation, but they're all the same design and heart of God. I'm going to show you some things about this word call, and we're going to just look and share some clarity or shed some light on this idea of you having a call by God. And in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 9, verse number 10, but we're just going to look at verse number 9 for this evening. Peter says it like this. He says, for you are God's chosen people. You are royal priests. You are God's very own possession. You are chosen by God. You are a royal, a king, and a priest. Girls, you are a queen. You can be like, I'm a diva queen. Amen. You are a queen in the kingdom of God. You are God's very own possession. I like to think of it like this: God's very own prized possession. He holds you on a pedestal of value, looking at you saying, man, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When he looks at you, he says, I did a good job. You might look at yourself and say, I don't think he did. But God says, man, I did a good job on them. You are beautiful. You are God's own prized possession. And then he goes on and he says, and as a result of that, you can show others the goodness of God. For he, now this is what we're going to talk about, this word, he called you out. Did you know you've been called out by God? You have been called out by Jesus Christ. It says that he has called you out of darkness. You know, to be called out is in some sense, when you look at like the urban, I was looking at the Urban Dictionary, and sometimes it gives you kind of like a modern translation. It's not like a real like Merriam-Webster's type dictionary. So don't base your life on Urban Dictionary. But I was looking at Urban Dictionary's definition of being called out. And it's to not let somebody get away with something. To tell something when somebody else isn't saying it. You know, you think of it like this, maybe like in a fight or in a bout, a sporting match, like a boxer or like UFC or something like that. Somebody will call out, "I'm calling so-and-so out to fight. I'm challenging them. I'm revealing the truth." You know, have you ever had somebody that's just like that perpetual fact checker in your life? It's like God's given gift, their God-given gift to call you out. Anybody have one of those? I have one. Her name is Stacy. And she is my called out. Anytime I say something, and I have been known on a very rare occasion, rarely, to slightly extend or expound upon the truth, to make it more theatrical and dynamic. But I say rarely, like once in my life, maybe twice, I'm doing it right now. And I'll be around somebody or a friend, or we'll be talking about something, some experience, and you know, maybe like, you know, you're looking at my shirt and you've probably been trying to figure out what the heck is on my shirt. My shirt is fly. These are flies. This is my birthday shirt from Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess. So if you're trying to figure out what they are, they're fishing flies so that I can catch the fish that was on Michael Nalbandian's shirt. See, we had matching shirts. So maybe I'm talking about fishing. That's gonna go right over your heads, but it's all right. Maybe I'm talking about fishing. I'll tell somebody like, "Yeah, man, I got back from this trip and I caught this fish and it was like this big, you know." And then Stacy's like, "No, it wasn't. You did, it was like a minnow. You couldn't even do it. You didn't even take a picture of it because it wasn't." And I'm like, "I didn't take a picture of it because I wanted to tell him it was this big. No evidence." And it's like her God-given gift to keep me honest in life. She is my gifting to be called out. Have you ever had somebody just call you out? You're going on a story, you're telling somebody, and then there's that one person that's like, "No, you didn't." You know what I'm talking about? Like, "Man, it was like this most amazing, it was like this epic." "No, it wasn't. It was just a regular day." And you're like, you just killed it. And you look at everybody else and you're like, "Forget it. I don't have anything else to say." Jesus is your call out. Right. Did you know he called you out? He called you out. He called out your sin. Now that doesn't always make us feel good. It's like, you know, I think of like when we think of Jesus calling out our sin, there's a story of David. And he saw this woman, her name was Bathsheba, and she was taking a shower. Well, she didn't have a shower. She was taking a bath on the roof, and that's kind of weird. Why would somebody take a bath on the roof? It was just a different time. And she was taking a bath. David saw her. He had committed adultery with her because he was, you know, he was in a bad place, the wrong place at the wrong time. And he covers this whole thing up. And then finally, this prophet comes and tells David this little parable about a shepherd with a lot of sheep and a shepherd with one sheep. And the shepherd comes and says, "I want the sheep to eat," and he takes the one shepherd sheep and takes it and eats it. And David's like, "I'd kill that guy." And the prophet says, "That's you." And David's like, "Oh my gosh," like he called him out. So we think like Jesus called out our sin. Like, you know, you wake up in the morning and Jesus is like, "You." But actually, Jesus tells us in the book of John, when he's talking to his disciples, he says, "I'm going to leave and I have to go, because when I go, I'm going to give to you a gift. This gift is the Holy Spirit, my spirit." And he breathes on them and says, "Receive this." So he says, "I give them the gift." And one of the roles of the gift of God and the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. But maybe you've been called out by somebody. Maybe you were, you know, bending the truth and somebody called you out and you kind of felt dumb or you felt stupid and you didn't say, "I don't want to say anything else." But the Holy Spirit does that. He calls out the sin in our lives, but he does so in a way in which only God can do. He does so in a way in which directs us and points us to God. Paul the Apostle talks about the Old Testament law, and he says the law was for a purpose. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't insufficient. It had a reason by God. And the reason chosen by God and given by God was to show me that I needed God. And so Jesus comes, and he does something to you and I, and he calls out our sin. He makes us acutely aware of our insufficiencies, of the fact that we are imperfect, that we make mistakes, that we can't do things on our own. As a matter of fact, in John the 15th chapter, Jesus says, "For without me, you can do nothing." And so Jesus makes us aware of this discrepancy that we have, this insufficiency we have in life, and he calls out our sin so that we would be aware of it. But I love what also he does when it comes to sin is it says that he calls us out of our sin. Jesus says about you, about those past decisions that you've made, about those thoughts that you sometimes think, about those issues that you're going on in your head. Jesus says, hey, you're better than that. You're bigger than that. You don't need to have that anymore. You don't need to live like that anymore. As a matter of fact, you were in stuck in the mud, but guess what? I'm going to call you out. I'm going to choose you out. I'm going to bring you out of the past and of the sin. You see, it's a fundamental issue that we have. Sin is not about wrongdoing. Sin is about wrong being. And we were fundamentally wrong with God because we were born into a nature that was at odds with God. And Jesus said, I am going to pick you out of the wrong nature. And I love this, you were called out, but guess what? You were called in. Jesus brought you out, but then he called you in, spoke you in, positioned you in to life in Jesus Christ. See, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, that he called us out of darkness and he put us in to the marvelous or wonderful light of Jesus Christ. You've got a call. You see, a calling is not necessarily meaning that when God has a call on your life, that you're going to have to quit your job and move across the ocean. When you've got a call of God on your life, that doesn't mean that you have to enter into the full-time pastorate ministry and speak on a stage and start a church. Rather, you and I have a calling of God. The calling of God is, I am pulling you, calling you, beckoning you out of this former way, and I am calling you into life in Jesus Christ. You have a call by God. Why is it so important for us to understand why we're called by God? Because I believe today many Christians are living saved, but not called. And when we think about what's the difference, Pastor, I'm saved by faith through grace. I'm headed to heaven. That's exactly it. That's the height of our life. I've made the decision. I raised my hand in that church service and now everything's good and all I got to do is just keep this until I die and then I'll make it to that great place. That is living saved. And as humans, we naturally have a tendency to try to flow like water to the lowest, easiest place to exist. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm so good at that. It's like, I know that, like, I just naturally gravitate to the most comfortable place on the couch, you know? Like, you just know where it is. And that's what life is like. You know, there's like that hard section over there and the section over, like Goldilocks, that's too soft, it's been broken in and now you gotta move over. We just wanna go to right where it's just good. And as long as I can sit here, my enjoyment, my life will be good. But to live saved is to say, great, I'm so glad for what's going to happen. But to live called is to say, no, I have a purpose. I have a reason. That my life is not just about, God didn't just put me on this earth to reveal to me that I was fundamentally at odds with him in my life, and that he took me out of that and he gave me a position of authority and he gave me a position of a future, and now all I gotta do is to stay in that until I get to that place. But rather, to live called is to recognize and to realize that today, here on earth, I have a purpose to fulfill in the kingdom of God. That I live for a reason, and it's not just to get to heaven. That'll happen when I get there. But until I get there, I've got a reason to exist. Yeah. I was talking to some friends, and this might not have anything to do with it, but anyway, I'm going to say it anyways. In psychology, there was this professor a long time ago that came up with this pyramid of needs. It's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and on the bottom, it kind of looks like the food pyramid. On the bottom of it, it's like your most basic needs. On the top of the pyramid, or the peak of the pyramid, is like the hardest to attain, but yet the most important. And the most basic are like food and drink and water. Like, if you don't have that, you won't live. And then shelter, and then relationships and love, and then they kind of go up in phases. And the top is this phrase, or this section, called self-actualization, and that means my life means something. It's the highest place or position that a human psychologically can get to recognize or realize that I do not exist by accident, but rather my life has a, and he wasn't even a Christian. Kind of wild, right? But he recognized that we all fundamentally as humans need a purpose to exist, and that is exactly why God called you. to give you your purpose, to give you your reason, to give you that fundamental purpose for existence. And it even gives us the illustration, the example as to why it's so important for us to understand that we are called, or we've got a call by God, and the very same verse that tells us that we've been called by God. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 9, once again, I'll put up a different highlight. It says, very before we even says it, you're God's chosen people, you're royal priests, a holy nation, God's great valued possession. And look at that, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. As a result, you are called, you are set aside, you are a peculiar people, like the New King James says, like kind of a weird people, you know, like offset. People are trying to figure out what's up with you. You are that way for a reason. Why? To show others, to reveal to others, to proclaim the glory and the goodness and display in your life to other people around you how good God is. You are the living, breathing Word of God to this world today. That's your calling. I remember long ago, my papa, he taught a message at this church that was one of the foundational and fundamental church messages that we had. And that's every person who follows Jesus is a full-time minister of the gospel. You may never wear a white collar with a black one. You may never drape on the robe. You may never get one of those really big hats like the Pope wears. You may never get paid by a church. You may never go across the oceans to Africa or to Europe, but you, in your life, at your job, with your family, with your children, with your spouse, with your friends, you are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ because you've got a call. Your call is to display the goodness of God into people. You are called out of sin and into life so that you can display God's goodness. You are God's beacon of light to the world. And if we simply live saved, if we simply live, well, as long as I can just get to heaven and I just do the bare minimum and say a prayer every once in a while and just do that, and I'll get to, and you will, praise God, I believe it. But you'll miss out on the adventure and the purpose that God puts you on this earth for, to be a beacon of hope, to be a shining light in the middle of somebody's storm, to be an example, not just of justice and righteousness and all the things that Christians like to point out in the world today, but of the goodness, of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the mercy of God, of the grace of God. You know, this world needs a little bit of grace because we're so focused on what to do and what not to do. And God says, man, I tell you, if you grab a hold of me, there's this thing called grace that is so abundant and so big that you can't even wrap your head around it. As a matter of fact, a couple of verses later, Peter talks about it called the manifold or many-faceted section or idea of grace. But you and I are called by God to display His goodness to the world. And so every one of us has a challenge. And so further on in this book, and then Peter, after he says this foundational statement, then he goes on and he talks about it. He says, servants, because you're called by God to shine the light, work as unto God, to your masters, even if you're a slave, if you're a worker. Husbands, because you're called by God to show His goodness, love your wife. Wives, love your husband. To serve the government system. Whether, oh my God. This is Southern California. I was in Alabama the other couple months ago, and it was amazing how different, you know. They were talking about, man, somebody spoke bad about our president. Could you believe that? I'm like, y'all should come to Southern California and see what they're saying. But Peter says, because you are called by God to display the goodness of God, support, build up, pray for, believe in God for the best for your king. I mean, and he was talking about kings, not capital K kings, lowercase kings, talking about the one that would eventually bring Peter to his own death, Nero and the Roman emperors. And he was saying, support them, honor them, because you are called by God to bring and display His goodness to the world. And so he says, in your job, display God's goodness. In your marriage, display God's goodness. In your political affiliations, oh my Lord, what would the world be like if we did that? Display God's goodness. In everything that you do, display God's goodness. And he lays out for the next three chapters the course of living in which we display God's goodness. And despite when you're persecuted, display God's goodness. When things are good, display God's goodness, because this is your purpose, this is your calling, this is your reasoning. You were plucked out of the darkness and placed into the light so that you could do this. And then he summarizes it all, and this is where I'm going to take you. He summarizes it all in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. If you got your Bibles, you can go there, because it's going to read very similar to what it might be. If you don't have an NLT Bible, then it'll be the same in your NKJV or your ESV or your NIV or your whatever else you've got. The heart is the same. In verse number 10, Peter says, listen, God has given each of you a gift, a call, a purpose. I love the imagery that it points out here. It's almost like you get this image of like a big chest, you know, a big chest of talents, a big chest of gifts. And it's like you get this image of God, and you've been called out of darkness. You've been placed into the light. Now you're kind of there like, okay, what do I do? And God opens up this, you know, just get this image of like God opens up this big chest, and then like the light shines like, oh, you know, like, and he says, and he pulls out this gift. I'm going to give you a teaching gift. And he pulls out this gift. And, oh, I'm going to give you a praying gift. And he pulls out this gift. And I'm going to give you a broom sweeping gift. And somebody's like, I don't want that gift, but that's a gift. And he's going to give you a gift. And man, I'm going to give you this creativity gift. And I'm going to give you this musical gift. And he gives us gifts, callings, talents, abilities to do things that people around us can't do. Why? Because God made us uniquely different so that we would all serve a part in this calling to display the glory and the goodness of God for others to see. And so you've been given a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And look what he says. He says, use them. You use them. Use them. That's the whole living call. Don't just take the gift and say, thanks, God. You gave me intercessory prayer. Lord, thank you for the missionaries in Africa. In Jesus' name. I prayed. I get to go to heaven. No, he says, use them. If you've been given a gift, use it. Because it was given to you for a reason, to display my goodness, so that somebody around you, somebody in your family, somebody at your workplace, somebody around the world, somebody who sits next to you in church, somebody on the freeway, in the car with you, in the carpool lane, or in the carpool van, or whatever it might be, that somebody would see the goodness of God in your life because you've been called. And so he says, use them well to serve one another. And he goes, do you have the gift of speaking? Speak, though, as if God himself were speaking. Or the New King James says, speak as though the oracles of God. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And everything you do will bring glory to you. No, purpose, meaning, existence. Everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus, who all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. It's finished. We agree. So here's my challenge to you today, is to live your life on call for Jesus because you've been called. You've been called out, you've been called in, and now you live on call. I had a friend that was, he worked, and I didn't even tell him I was going to talk about him today, but maybe he won't see. I had a friend that worked for one of those organizations that, you know, if somebody dies in a car accident or something happens to them, and they have the organ donor on their license, that he was in the organization that would take those organs and it's kind of, I don't know how else to say it, like harvest them. I don't know. It kind of doesn't sound very like pretty, but he would take those organs, and then they would disperse them to the people that needed them. So they would decide, okay, this kidney, there's this list of people, and this kidney matches them, and this kidney's going to go here, and you know, this, you know, whatever it might be, this is going to go here, or this tissue's going to go here. And he would do that. But because of the nature of that field, and because of the nature of that industry, it doesn't stop. It doesn't end. And he would be on call 24 hours a day 7 days a week. And he shared with us a couple of fun recordings that he had of, you know, when he got called at like 4 o'clock in the morning and they'd be like, hey, we have this circumstance and this person, their blood type and this thing, and this what do you want to call it? And he'd just be like, this is a click. And then he'd be like, yeah, they call me back like, excuse me, what did you say? And he was like totally asleep. Like but he was on call. And so he'd have to shake himself out and like, wait. Okay. And you'd have to wake up and like rub his eyes. Ready in a moment's notice. What is it? Okay, that's gonna go here. We're gonna do this. Okay, we'll have so-and-so come and do this and we'll do that. And they'd make a plan because they only had so much time. And he was on call all the time, excuse me. And that's how God, I believe, wants you and I to live. It's on call, ready. Paul tells his young protege, Timothy, he says, be ready. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and in out of season, that at any given moment, somebody might call upon you, somebody might come, and you might have the given opportunity to use the gift. Remember, he just talked about that. To use the gift that God gave you. Why? To display his goodness and his glory. But if we just live saved, if we just say, man, it's just about me getting to heaven and my life's just about me and God bless me and God do something for me and God move in my life and God speak to me and I just can't wait to get there and I, you see what the problem is? It's me, I. But God says, I want you to think about others and to be ready at a moment's notice that God has given you a special gift, a calling that he's already given to you right now. Can you believe this? Right now, you already have that gift. You may not feel like you're gifted at all, but all you need to do is say, God, here I am. Send me. To live called, to live on call for Jesus Christ. You see, the world doesn't need you to share your faith or to tell your belief system with words. The world needs you and I to show our beliefs with our behaviors. They don't need you to tell them what you believe. Have you ever noticed that everybody's telling everybody what they believe? And while they're telling what they believe and they're telling, the words are crossing and nobody's listening. Everybody's speaking and nobody's listening. And in this season that everybody's speaking and nobody's listening, the world doesn't need somebody else to add to that equation. But what they do need is for you and I to show them through our behaviors, through a life that is called by God to bring the glory of God to others around us so that Jesus might be glorified in their life, that they, look at this, that they might get the call from God to be called out of darkness and called into life so that they might be activated in their calling to bring glory to God in somebody else's life, that they might live a life on call for Jesus Christ, that they might get an opportunity to share with somebody else through their life, that person might get called out and get called in and then get called to what God has us to do. Could you imagine what this world, let's go smaller, what would the Inland Empire look like? 37% of people in the Inland Empire have some type of Christian affiliation, somewhere in the 37-38%, depending on what year you look at the statistics. What would it look like if one out of the 4 million people that lived in this Inland Empire showed the world what they believed by their behaviors rather than telling everybody with their words? You realize how fast things would begin to change? Economies would change. Crime rates in neighborhoods that are violent would drop. Things would happen in days rather than years because this is the plan of God for us. But it starts by us recognizing that we have a call. That when you leave this place today, you've got a call. And that call is called out of darkness and called into light, so that you could live on call for God to do what God has specifically designed you to be in the grasp of full-time ministry. You are a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. While you say, well, that's the case, give me a paycheck. While you may never get a paycheck from the church, your reward is in heaven. And that paycheck is far bigger than an organization on earth could ever give you. You and I have got to live on call for Jesus and not just saved. That's great. God wants us to go further, deeper, and faster than ever before in this community, in this season, in this time, because you have a call. Amen. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.